Hi everybody, welcome to Hafez Coffee Break. We're back, episode number 9. I have with me my co-host, Victor. How are you, Victor?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm pretty excited to talk about the topic today. Today we talk about fatherhood, ready or not. We based this topic on the fact that I'm going to become a dad really soon, right? Mm-hmm. And before we get into the topic, I want to talk about my coffee today. Here's something, Victor, you have to know, right? I have my cold coffee.
Yeah,
with milk, and
your milk.
Yeah, it's milk. Well, it's without lactose. Right?
Yeah,
Victor calls it water.
I call it water
with milk, right? 2% without lactose, and here's the twist. Because I know people like the twist. Well, that's what I like
that's
to
what you
think.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I like to think. But here's my twist. Okay, so if you really like to enjoy a cold coffee and don't lose the flavor when I'm talking that or getting diluted by water or the ice, right? What you do, it's this, right? You prepare an espresso shot, right? And you can prepare up to 6 depending on your ice tray. But that's what I do, 6 espresso shots that I let cool down, and then I serve it on the iced tray.
Mm-hmm.
I fill it in with the espresso, and then
so you make ice cube shots of espresso.
Exactly. So that's gonna be a nice espresso shot that you can just add once you pour your iced coffee, right? So instead of putting ice like regular people do, that's what I do, and it doesn't dilute it. It doesn't get my coffee too diluted, right? So it has that flavor and kicks in pretty fast.
Okay.
Because it melts, right?
Now, how many of these do you drink a day?
Well, I would say max 2. Mm-hmm. Cold ones, right?
Max, but max, the real number is.
But the thing is that if we're talking about coffee, it's probably 4.
Okay.
More or less a day. But for a cold one, maybe 1 or 2, right? But it's always great to have a warm cup of coffee too, you know? But today I went for, this episode, I went for cold coffee,
cold
just because I needed to be a bit cool about the topic we're talking about, you know.
Oh,
I have to calm things down.
Look at
you.
I
have to be a bit cooler, you know what I mean? So here's what it is, right? So we were thinking about topic, and this came to mind because fatherhood, I believe strongly that nobody can be, well, probably if you have like 4 kids, 5 kids, you can maybe be somewhat ready, right?
Eventually,
to have a fifth or something.
Yeah.
You're like, well, another one, right? Like DJ Khaled, like, no, am I going to get sued for this?
No.
Okay, we're good. So, but when it's your first child, right? In my case, people ask me like, oh, how do you feel?
How do you feel?
And how I feel is that I'm not ready. And people, I don't know if it's bad. But at the same time, I'm feeling like nobody is 100% ready to have a kid, right?
No.
It's not like getting a puppy, you know? Like, maybe the feeling of, like, expectation, you're just waiting to get it, right, when you're young. I don't know if you had that.
Nope.
No? Well, I did, and I was so excited to have a puppy, right? I'm not saying that my kid is like my puppy, but I'm talking about the,
element
of expectation,
puppy.
You know, and just feeling that excitement of saying like, oh my God, like I'm going to have something like to take care of, you know, the whole responsibility aspect of it. Because when I was going to get a puppy, my mom said like, hey, you know that you will have to do this and that, like clean it and et cetera, right? But the thing is that, I know that taking care of a baby is a whole different game, right? And I'm excited. I'm not ready, honestly.
Okay.
Like, I have nephews, okay? And it's fun, you know? And
yeah, but you don't take care of them 24/7.
Exactly.
You see them
exactly.
Like once a week.
I see them, like, eventually from time to time, you know? And it's fun to be with them, play with them. And, you know, at a certain moment, and I don't know, like, I don't want people to think, like, oh, he's going to be a bad dad, you know? Mm. But
yeah.
But at a certain point, when you're taking care of somebody else's baby, right?
Yeah.
At a certain point, you give it back, right? So you're, okay, you know, oh, it's fun to play with the baby or whatever, like, taking care of it. My mom has a daycare, so, you know, from 8 or even from 7 to 4:30, we had kids in the house, right? So we had to take care of them, and it was part of the job, right? But at a certain point, well, the parents come and they take it away. Like, okay, bye.
They take it away.
You know, like they like take your baby and go back home, you know, and take care of it like for the rest of the day, you know? Yeah. So you deal with them a part of the day, and it's part of the job, right? And I'm not saying that it's going to be the same with my baby, but I know that at a certain point, well, you know, when the baby starts crying and you're like, well, I don't know what to do. Give it back to the mom or to the dad, you know, like, okay, good luck with that. Okay, bye. And then you run away, right?
Yeah.
Well, in my head, that's how it goes, right? When the baby starts crying and you don't know what to do, well,
like, give it back. Okay, and like,
okay, you were cute, right? Until you start crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't know what to do. And then you say, maybe the parents know, right? And by reading stuff or just getting information, I understand now that sometimes even parents don't know what to do with the baby crying, right? So I would say that I'm not 100% ready. I'm excited for sure, and I'm happy to have a baby. And I'm sure that I'm going to do the best I can to be there for the child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, so I'm not scared, because people ask me too, like, are you scared? Like, I'm like, no, I'm not scared per se, but it makes me think. Like, okay, I'm going to be taking care of a human being, like, not so far from now.
Yeah.
He's going to be here, you know. I'm already taking care of the mom, and I know the baby's inside, but it's going to be a different game when he's going to come, right? I'm excited. I really want to see him. For those who don't know, well, yes, it's a boy, right? So it's a boy coming to join us. And it was funny, because I was actually texting one of my friends. He was asking me about the podcast and everything, and I was telling him, well, for season one, well, I'm expecting to release maybe 10 to 12, in between 10 or 12 episodes for the season one. And this one is episode 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, the baby's coming soon. Like, I hope I'm going to be able to record everything before the baby comes. It's not that my priorities are not in the right place, right? My friends are like, oh, priorities, bro, be careful. It's like, yeah, but I'm just playing around, you know? Like, I was like, yeah, the baby's fine, it's coming, you know, but I just want to record my episodes, and hopefully it's going to be before he comes, right? But I'm not saying that. I'm not prioritizing the podcast, you know? I'm just glad to be able to do this and enjoy it, right? But I'm just saying that I know when the baby's going to come, it's going to make it like a whole like different game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be more challenging. It's like, okay, he's not crying, let's record, you know? Mm-hmm. We'll try to see how we make it work. But rest assured that we will continue this podcast, even though he eventually comes, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure out.
I'm free.
Yeah, you're free, so maybe this podcast will become
just Victor's show.
Victor's coffee break. I don't know.
Nah.
So,
but let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Right. So, the day you got the news, what was your initial thought? Like, what happened in your brain?
Well, honestly, I've been married, like for 3 years now.
3 years.
Yeah. Am I wrong? No, it's 3 years. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's 3 years.
I remember.
Yeah, so it's because we're in 2020 and we got married in 2017, so 3 years.
Yes,
right.
That's
so third anniversary. So that's how math works,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and the thing is, well, we were just waiting. We were like, well, what's gonna happen? When it's gonna happen? And we weren't looking forward for that, but we were. Also, just like,
you were okay with it.
We were okay with the thought of having a baby eventually, you know. We weren't, you know, I know people get really like frustrated, or they really want a baby in their time lapse, you know. They create a sort of time lapse, and they say, like, you know what, here at that moment of my life, I want to have a baby. We didn't have that in mind, you know. Well, not since I got married. That's another thing, right? Because before that, I thought that I was going to have a kid at 24 years old, when I was going to be 24 years old, you know. I'm 33, and I'm going to have my first child. So you see, my plan didn't go as
I'm 21, and I don't think I'm going to have a child in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and the mentality changes, right? But the thing is that at that moment, when we were just like, okay, whatever, we just started to see some things change, and Cindy was like, wait a minute, something's weird, something's happening, I don't know. When. And we had a kind of feeling saying, like, maybe this is it, you know? But we weren't sure 100%. So we were already... We already had that in mind, saying, like, if it happens, it happens, and we're going to be happy. But when it came to the day that we were like, okay, let's confirm this, honestly, I got excited because I was like, okay, now I have to know, you know, because we were having that discussion. And I remember it was late at night, and almost everything was closed. And we were like, okay, we have, like, I don't remember, maybe 30 minutes to get to the Shoppers or the Pharmaprix, right?
Yeah. Here.
The pharmacy, and we're like, okay, let's go.
You didn't think about a gas station? There's always the gas station.
Yeah, but gas station, you're not sure. You don't want to, you know, I wouldn't go to Dollarama, you know, just to get a pregnancy test, you know, because I want to be sure
100%.
It's 100%, you know. And even there, like, we went there, we bought, like, two tests. Just to be sure, you know, because the first one can say yes and the second one could say no, or the first one can say no and then the second one can say yes. We don't know. I don't know how it works. I mean, my only references were movies.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say.
And I was like, oh, yeah, so this is what happens, right? Like, you check on the movies, like, oh, my God, oh, you're pregnant. It's like, okay, and they do one test. They don't show you, like, the whole process of, like, I don't know if this is true, or, like, the dilemma, or, like, is it for real, like, well, let's be sure and test it again, you know. You don't see that part in the movies, right? So that's what happens with us. We were like, oh, I don't know, let's make sure. We're like, oh yeah, it says yes. Well, I'm not sure. No, it was like a cross thing. So we were like, okay, so what does that mean? I don't see the cross, like, the it's kind of tinted, but I don't know, what does that mean, you know? Reading after checking that, I was like, okay, let's read the instructions, right? Like, I know. Everybody would be like, well, that's the first thing you do.
Yeah,
that's true.
For people who don't know, Hafet doesn't read instructions for anything.
I read them if I need to, you know. I read the thing really quickly, and I was like, well, if it's a cross, it means yes, you know. But I didn't see if it's, like, tinted, but it's not that clear. What does that mean? So I was like, wait a minute, you know. I didn't know what to expect. I was like, well, what does that mean? So, and then we're like, I don't know. Let's try the other one. Let's see. And then we see, like, okay, everything is showing us that, yes, like, Cindy's pregnant. But, yeah, the thing is that I started reading. It's like, oh, yeah, even if it's not that tinted, like, if it's kind of a shade and you can more or less see the line, it's fine, you know. And it's going to be, like, a yes. So I was like, oh, okay, so this is it. And I remember we were there checking, and we couldn't believe it. We were just, like, in awe. Somehow we were like, wow, okay, everything has been going, like, in perfect plan for God. We were not thinking about what we wanted. We were just happy that it was happening, and we were excited, but at the same time, it didn't kick in, like, as fast, you know, because sometimes we'd like, oh yeah, okay, we're pregnant, yay, okay. But after a while, well, we hear a lot of stuff, right? And a lot of people told us, well, the doctor said, like, you should maybe wait 3 months before starting sharing the news, you know, like, with people, because we never know what can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
From and that, I would say that put our faith into a little moment there of reflection, right? Because or kind of a dilemma, saying that, and something really funny happens, and here is where I'm going with this, with the faith thing. Cindy came back to work, right? Like, she went back to work after, because it was, like, for December, so we were off for 2 weeks. She came back in January to work, and her colleagues started to say, like, hey, what's up with you? Are you pregnant? And Cindy was like, well, what? No, what are you saying? Why are you saying that? And like, yeah, I don't know, because your face and whatever. And we didn't share it to anybody.
Was it glowing?
I don't know, but well, Cindy says she does, she's not glowing. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what do they mean by that, you know?
We just hear it all the time.
But I hear that all the time. Oh, yeah, wow, you're glowing. But, I mean, like, I don't think it's that. But her colleague said, like, something changed in her face, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so that's weird. Because we didn't say anything, right? And at a certain moment, like, Cindy decided to say, like, okay, I'm going to tell it to my coworkers because I need to know what to do from now on, right? So she said, like, yeah, fine. At the end, like, she said, like, yeah, I'm pregnant. How did you know? And then they started talking about her face and whatever. And Cindy said, yeah, but please don't say anything right now, right? And her colleague said, like, well, don't you believe in God? And I was like, wait, what?
Wow.
I was like, and then when she said that and she came back at home and she shared the story with
me. Is this colleague also Christian or?
No, actually. Whoa, well, she's Muslim. Right? Oh. And she said, like, well, don't you believe in God? And in that moment, we said, like, wow, okay, no. Like, we have to believe in God. You know, this is something, yes, we prayed to have a baby eventually. And God is giving us a baby. So, you know, and it could, anything can happen if it's God's will. And that's mm-hmm. what we believe. And honestly, like the moment she came back and said that to me, I was like, okay, like we cannot be saying like, yeah, okay, but when live in fear of anything happening to the baby, you know?
Yeah.
So our prayers started to change at that moment, saying like, you know what? Like, thank you, God. We're appreciating this. And we're putting all the situation in your hands, right? And we're just grateful for this opportunity for us to be parents, right? So it all changed in that moment. But it's funny because before that, it's not that we weren't thinking that God could like protect us and bless the baby and everything. It was just that we wanted to follow what the doctor says. Like, you know what? Like, take your time. Don't share. Don't overshare. Don't stress with that. Try to keep it for yourself. But at the same time, we said, like, no, we have to share it with our family, like immediate family.
Uh-huh.
And after 3 months, we started sharing with some friends, you know, because and here's the thing. Like, I think it has to be difficult to share the news. And after a while, like, nothing happens, and like then people ask you, hey, what happened with the baby? And then you're like, if something bad happens, it has to be like so hurtful to be explaining to everybody, to say like, you know what, something happened. And that's why they say wait 3 months before you share the news.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's to protect you somehow, because, and I understand that, and it's fine, but at the same time, if you have faith and you believe in God, like, you shouldn't be afraid no matter what happens, saying, yeah, like, God has a plan for you and your baby. And if the baby is meant to come to life after 9 months, well, thank God for it. And if it doesn't happen, well, God has other purposes, you know. And sometimes we can't really understand it, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole situation made us really think about all that, thinking, okay, so how do we handle the situation? Are we supposed to share or not? Are we supposed to tell it to the people at church, or our colleagues, or whatever? Like, but at the same time, we didn't want to have to face that if that happens, you know. But we were confident that God has a will, and we were like, you know what? If whatever happens, well, we will be ready, and God's gonna give us the strength to go through any situation, right?
How long did you wait before telling, like, us, the immediate family?
Family was, like, almost a month and a half, because maybe 2 months, not even, maybe a month and a half. The thing is that we weren't sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because we didn't want to. We were just, like, figuring it out ourselves. Like, is this really happening?
Yeah. You
know? And still, you have a little, like, misbelief. Well, in my case, that's what happened. I was like, is it real? Is it not? I don't know. Are we really, like, nah, I don't know. Maybe we're just like, we didn't count right, or we're just like, why? How does it work? And the first time you get to that information, sinking in, you're like, well, I don't know what to do now. Like, how do we confirm this? And then we have to go to the doctor, and then he confirms, okay. And like, okay, so this is happening for real, right? And even at the doctor is like, well, did you want it, the baby? It's like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like, okay, so it's a good news. It's like, well, okay. You know, it's kind of off. Right, you're like, yeah, but well, I think like I know that sometimes like babies can come in different situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I strongly believe that a baby is a blessing and brings joy to a family. So, and we are really grateful for that, and we cannot wait to see him. But yeah, in those moments, we weren't that ready to share first because we weren't sure. Imagine we were like. Saying, yeah, I think. And then it's like, wait a minute. Like, I think we're wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like, no, at the end, it didn't. No, it's not that. You know, it's kind of like we don't want to give fake news, you know, in a certain way. Saying yeah. like, oh, you know what? Like, oh, no.
You don't want to give people hope. You know? And like,
exactly. You don't want to give them a little hope of saying like, oh, my God. Like, imagine. Yeah. Like, we tell you, oh, you're going to be an uncle. And then you're like, ah, you're so happy. And then you're like, oh, no, it's enough.
What's funny is, like, when you told me the news, I was like, okay.
Yeah, how did you receive it?
I was like, all right, congratulations. I really, but you know how I am. I don't really give, like, big, whatever you call, like, emotion type of thing, right?
No.
I was like, okay, cool, all right. And then the funny thing is that how Andres took it,
yeah,
he's like, oh, we're gonna have a baby. He's like, oh, okay, cool. Tell me when it's official. And he's like, yeah. Well, I heard that from afar. He's like, what are they talking about? And I go, yeah. Wait, what do you mean official? Oh, then I heard it. It's like, no, they're having a baby now. I was like, oh, I thought they said they were gonna go have a baby. They're like, they're trying. He's like, no. Oh, and I saw Cindy's face of like,
Yeah, we were so confused when that happened. Like,
me too.
Like, oh my God, what are you saying, Andres? Like, it's like I don't believe it until I don't see his face.
Yeah, that's what I understood him. Yeah. And then, so when you told me the news, I was really happy. Then later on,
yeah.
I was like, oh cool, I can get him this, I can go get that, because you know, as a growing up, in here in Montreal, it's only me. And my parents and my other three siblings.
Yeah.
And so, like, not having... we see our uncles, like, once a year.
Yeah.
When we go to New York or wherever else. But we didn't have immediate family, right? Mm. So I was like, oh, cool. Now I can, like, see my nephew.
Yeah.
I hope I can be the cool uncle. Like, I can get him stuff, go places with him, show him cool things.
Yeah.
And like when I have to go all the way to New York to go see my cousins and stuff,
mm-hmm.
So I was really excited to like to hear it, and then later on like oh yeah okay cool this is gonna be a cool thing, but then later on you're telling me like oh you're gonna have to like keep him one day like take care of him one day. I was like I'll take care of him for like maybe an hour top and then I'll just bring it to your mother
with you, but yeah it's kind of crazy because. Like, and I can relate to that feeling of you, like you're saying, when I received the news that I was gonna have nephews,
mm-hmm.
right? I was really happy and got the first one, Emma, little girl, right? It was like, oh, awesome! I honestly never thought I was gonna feel that way towards my nephews.
Mm-hmm.
You have a love that it's completely different, right? Of what you know. Like, you can like somebody, but you can see, like, these little babies, these kids growing up. And you're like, oh, my God, like, they're my nephews. And there's something special just knowing, like, they're my nephews. Anybody who has nephews can maybe relate to that. Or maybe I'm too sensitive. I don't know. But I just felt something different.
You're a sensitive guy.
I felt something different. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And I told Cindy, I cannot imagine when I'm going to receive the news of this is my baby, you know, like this is my kid. And when I received it, I was so happy. And I said, and just as I was mentioning before, the faith, it makes you think about so many things.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so where are we going with this? Like, is it really happening? Is it really God's will? Like, is it like, where are we, like,
yeah, because
how do we take all this?
You're responsible for like somebody, like a person who's gonna be in society.
Yeah.
If he comes up all weird and
exactly.
serial killer like, that's on you.
No, yeah, exactly. But let's not go there. But you know what I mean. It's those thoughts get to your mind, right? Because you're like, okay, now I'm gonna be in charge of a little human that has to grow up and eventually be someone in the society, right?
Yeah.
And by what I mean is not being someone like important or something, you know, I'm just saying like be someone that functionates or can be like, can be part of the society. Hopefully he's going to be good, right? A good person. And I want to give like all my love as much as I can to that kid, you know? Yeah. I see so many things going on like in life and everything, and like that the parents are not present, or the kids don't feel the love, or like the absence of love, and how it can like
affect
or even jeopardize the children's future.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird when it starts to sink in, because as I said, at first you realize, okay, it's happening, right? But you don't get to all those questionings. Those questionings come the 8 months after that, right? You start thinking about other stuff. And, well, that was my case. It wasn't just like, oh, okay, well, cool, we're having a baby, yeah. And then, like, no, it's like, okay, so we have to think about the smallest of the things, right? So thinking just, like, where is he going to sleep? Where is he going to, like, I don't know.
That's
like
a small thing. Where's the baby?
No, but I mean, like, it could go to the smallest to the most important, you know? And what I'm saying, like, well, okay, when you come out of the hospital, well, you need a car seat, right, for the baby. And it's like, oh, you need this and that. And you start checking the, and I'm not, and I don't want to, like, say too many things to for anyone out there, like, trying to have a baby and then like get like this I don't know disillusion
or misinformation
not misinformation or just like you know you think it's gonna be awesome and and then you get like deceived. I don't want to deceive anyone, right? I just want to say how I lived it, like anybody else can be different, but I'm pretty sure like somebody can relate to this. You have 8 months of thinking, like, okay, so what's going on? Like, the baby's healthy, and then you have the meetings with the doctors and the appointments and everything, and you start, like, seeing how it develops, right?
Yeah.
And everything, like, the baby's growing up, and everything is going fine or not. Or it's like, you have to do this, and try to take care of the baby, even if he's not physically here outside of the womb. You already have stuff to do, right? But the questioning comes in those moments. And I would say that it's kind of weird to say, but it didn't sink in the first months. Even after that, 3 months, 4 months, I was still knowing that a baby was coming. But it was kind of surreal saying, like, well, we're not going to be two anymore in this house. We're going to be three, right? But it's kind of surreal and kind of weird. And I feel really weird about it because I just started to really think about, okay, the baby's coming. I would say around the 5th month, right? Saying like, okay, when we started buying stuff and saying like, okay, this is for baby, this is for this, and this and that. And when we decided for the name, well, it was also something like, let's try this. No. And the whole discussion, like,
yeah, we went through a lot of names.
A lot of names, thinking. It's like, and at the same time, we're like, well, what if he comes out and we see his face and we're like, well
no, he looks like a Victor.
He looks like a, no, it doesn't. He won't look like a Victor. But you know what I mean? Like, just to be like, okay. Like, it's a huge responsibility also to just give a name to a human being. It's the name he's going to have for the rest of his life. Well, unless he changes it. And I know you can pay for it, but I mean, it's a huge responsibility to give a name, to build up his values, his identity, and hopefully be there for that kid, right? But the whole thing started to really fall into place about the fifth month in my head, actually. Like, I know Cindy was a bit like earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She said it now. She knew and she felt it, and it sank in faster. But in my head, as a man, as like, I don't know if it's a guy thing, but it didn't really sink in until the fifth month, more or less, when we really started buying stuff and being like, okay, this is happening. We have to be ready. And when we look back, we're like, oh my God, it's been 9 months already. And the baby is supposed to come like anytime now. And it's kind of weird saying that because we don't have a control either on that. And I'm kind of a control person.
Control freak?
Not control freak, but I like to have a certain control. I've learned with time that there are things that you can control, and that has lowered a lot of my anxiety. And I will mm-hmm. talk about my anxiety one of these days on this podcast. I know we talked about it with my sister, right? But I would like to talk it from my perspective eventually too. But with the baby, I really thought I was going to get more anxious. But I also started thinking there are things that are out of my control, right? And even now, he's not there. And I can see my nephew, right? He gets injured he just falls and he's playing. He runs and he doesn't he miscalculates his steps and he just falls and, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him just running and everything. It's like, well, as much as I wish I could be there just to save him from falling, I know eventually he's going to fall and he's going to hurt himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But these are kind of reflections that came to my mind. There are things that I'm not going to be able to control around my kid, right? And this is how I started to control more my anxiety towards having a baby. Accepting that there are things that I'm not going to be able to control. But what I'm saying is I like to have a certain control, you know. And as much as I can, I'm going to have to be careful and try to be there for the kid. And I know Cindy has also that element of trying to be in control of stuff. And there are things that she's going to, well, she started to sink in that information that, well, there are things that we can't control, right? But I'm pretty sure when he's going to be here, it's going to be completely different. This is just my expectations, right? Because we don't know what it's going to be like to have it here all the time. And I'm not scared, but yes, I am.
Worried?
I wouldn't say worried. Anxious? I feel the challenge of performance, if we can say that, okay. Right? Like, you have to be there and try to do your best all the time, yeah, for a kid, 24/7. And that's a huge responsibility. That's how I see it, right? And again, I don't want to discourage anyone who wants to have a baby and like, wait a minute, I didn't think in that way, right? I don't want you to see it like a big mountain. We're going to go step by step, right? Until we reach the
yeah, because no one's ready.
Exactly. No one is ready. And I'm pretty sure, like as I said at the beginning, even someone that has like 2-3 kids, I'm pretty sure a new one is always like this expectation of a surprise, or because kids are never the same, right? I can see it, like even with my brothers, my sisters, or like cousins or whatever. I know we are all different people, and we manage things differently. And I know the relationships we build around other people. Well, it's not the same way we do. Like, I am not the same as my brother or my sister. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. But there are things that we can control. And I hope, honestly, that I'm going to... And I'm pretty sure that for that, I would say I'm not 100% ready, but I'm ready to give my best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to take that this way, saying like, you know what, I'm ready for the challenge. I'm going to be there. I'm mm-hmm. going to do my best, and we'll see what comes at the end. Right?
You sound like somebody who's like playing sports. I don't know how I was going to go today.
Yeah.
I feel like the team is ready. I want to play my best. Whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens. And if we get the championship, well, That's what we want, you know. Like, we want a good kid. We want to, you know, we want the best thing. You know, I don't have any expectations for my kid saying, like, you know what, I want him to be a doctor or whatever. You know, I don't have that in mind. I don't. I just want him to be happy. Honestly, that's what I think. It's the best. I want my baby to be happy. A happy kid. A happy teenager. A happy, you know, every aspect of his life. To know that when he's with his family, he's going to be happy and he's going to be okay, you know. And as a family, we have to be there for each other, holding the fort together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to feel free and safe and happy most of the time, right? And I know, like, I feel the love towards our baby. It's crazy. I'm really happy. I see so many people, friends and family members, like, showing the love already to the kid that's not even there. And we're blessed in that perspective, right? And I'm really happy to have that many people loving us and loving the baby already. But yeah, no, it's kind of, I see it as a challenge. And I see it as we will not be ready. And he's going to come when he wants. It's his time now.
It's his life.
It's his life. He wants to be born tomorrow. Well, he's going to come tomorrow, you know? I don't know. Like, now, from now on, it's like, well, it's when he's going to come, right? But, and I would say that what gets me more worried, it's what I have to do for work for the weeks that I'm not going to be there. Honestly, for now, that's what I'm thinking right now. I'm just thinking about everything has to be in place. And I have to control what I can. That's another thing. I want to control that aspect of my life, you know, because as I've mentioned, I'm a teacher, right? And I have to at least have prepared for 3 weeks of subbing. So I have to be at least sure that that's going to be okay and left, like, on time and everything.
Just slap a movie. Just movie, and you're fine.
Yeah, but 3 weeks, it's a long time, so... Yeah. So that's what I'm more worried about. I'm not even thinking that much of, like, the baby or, and I've been watching some stuff with Cindy, like, trying to prepare, you know, like, some, classes online and, like, you have on YouTube, some recordings of, like, they have, prenatal classes, like, so you have people talking about what's going to happen, like, what you should do to help, because most people, and that, well, that's what I've heard around me. Like, well, you're a guy. You just have to be there. Hold her hand. You know, like, just be when she's going to be in labor. It's like, no, there are things that you can do, like massages, or, you know, things like that. So
the there are classes. I've been having, like, the same face for, like, 3 minutes now, like, confusion. I'm like, what is he talking about?
Prenatal classes. That's what it means, right? And you can find some on YouTube and everything. And the thing is that... you have to be ready,
right?
To and I'm not saying like, okay, guys, let's go, and you have to go see what Labor Day looks like, right? And I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm talking about the moment your wife, the real Labor Day, right? What I'm saying is that we have to be ready to be supportive and try to help. Because the pain that she's going to feel, it seems to be, like, really, really high level pain, right? So we have to be able to do what we can to help her with the breathing, with the massages or whatever, you know, and try to be there as much as we can. Supportive, right? And it just starts, like, even before that. And that's another thing that I got to understand with the pregnancy and everything. I try to take care of my wife as much as I can, as always, right? But now that the baby is there, well, there's another step, right? It's we have to take care. I know I have to take care of them both, right? Eating more healthy, trying to be more careful with what we consume and everything. Like this, well, the baby's gonna come healthier, right? And it just clicks. I cannot say when in the moment that everything changed, but I can just say that at a certain moment we just believe, or we're just more focused on the well-being of the baby. We're just thinking like, no, like not for me. We're going to buy this for the baby. And it's funny because then I start to understand my parents when they were like, no, it's okay. I'm not going to buy this for me. I'm just going to buy this for you because you need it more, or this is something
you need. Yeah, I could see that. When we go out, you're just like, yeah. I was like, oh, we can go over there. Oh, Pasini can't because of the baby. I was like, oh, it's true. And I would completely forget. Yeah. But you would always remember about the little details like
that. Like, oh, there's no, that wouldn't work because of this and that and this and that. And you start to manage things the way you can. But yeah, it's been, I would say I would never, I never felt fear. Mm-hmm. But rather it was more excitement, right? It was more like, okay, I cannot wait to see his face. I cannot wait to see where we go with this and how is it going to be, you know? And at the same time, I have plans, right? I have things in my head and I'm sure that it's not going to go as I plan.
What do you mean?
Like, example, I have these, I don't want to say too much because I have plans with the podcast and things, right? Mm-hmm. Coming up for season 2. And I'm like, okay, let's do this, like that at that time. And I know that my schedule is going to be all like, messed up with the kid, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah.
We never know when we're gonna need to go to the hospital or whatever, take care of the baby or something happens, or you know, I have a type of schedule like planned, saying like, okay, so this time we will be recording, we will be doing this, or we will try to focus on this and that, my implication with the church or things like that, you know. That's what I mean, that I know my schedule won't be the same. Knowing it, just seeing like my nephews and my immediate family or friends that had kids, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're funny, dude. Like, you have plans. It's cute, you know? Like, but I know.
No more late night League of Legends games.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, I know that's going to change. So I have to play as much as I can now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that's my excuse for playing now. Like, well, when the baby comes, I don't know.
I have time now. I have time later now, on, maybe. I will not. So I'm going to get bronze 3 while I can.
I'm bronze 2.
Bronze 2, sorry. I'm sorry.
Come on, man. Yeah, so, I'm really happy. I cannot wait, as I mentioned, and I want to be the best as I can, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the best dad in the world, but I want to be the best dad for that kid. And that's what I think it's important. We don't have to be comparing ourselves like to somebody else. And
what about
that's yourself? my philosophy. Like saying like, I'm not going to compare myself to my dad. I'm not going to compare myself to Cindy's parents. I'm not going to compare myself to my friends who have kids, or my brother. Or no, I'm going to be myself the best I can, right? I'm going to take advice, that's for sure. I'm going to try to be the best I can. But I don't want to be comparing, because I think the moment we start comparing, that's when we can lose it. Like, we can stop thinking on the well-being of the kid and just being focusing on us.
What about comparing your childhood to the kid's childhood?
Well, that's never going to be the same.
Yeah, but like, let's say like stuff that you have gone through as a kid, right? Or things that you didn't have. Is there some things that you're like, okay, I didn't have this as a kid. I would have loved to have.
Well, that can be that. Dangerous.
That's not like what I think. Specific items. Like, I would have liked if my dad like pushed me in this area a little bit further to see if I could do it. Stuff like that, like sports, like games, and other stuff like education.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I cannot say how. I, of course, I think we need to push at a certain extent, right? Like, but what I wouldn't like is to have a kid, like a lazy kid, thinking that everything is like supposed to be there for him. You know, that's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want to raise my kid as much as I can. Showing him that the world is not there for you. You have to go and do something to get what you want, mm-hmm. right? Like, you have to work for it. Because I know that there are kids like, no, you're supposed to bring me a gift. No, you're supposed to give me something. Like, why am I here? No, I'm supposed to get things because that's how it works at home, you know? Like, I'm going to win arguments because, like, I'm always right. Like, and I can see it with kids at school, that they have that mentality and they have that philosophy or privilege. I don't want my kid to be like that type of kid, the kind of privilege. And I'm not saying it's something wrong. I'm just saying that it's my perspective on how I would like my kid to be. Like, you know, grow up.
Humble.
Working, humble. And, you know, like... you like we say like hustling, right? Trying to fight for something that he wants, and I don't want to give him everything because I didn't have it when I was a kid, you know, talking items or whatever, you know. I want to be there for him, supportive, and try to help him make the right decisions, right? And the moment he makes a wrong decision, well, I'll still be there trying to be supportive and understanding and trying to help him, like, getting through whatever time he's going through. If it's a happy moment or if it's a rough time, you know, be there for that kid. And that's what I think could be helpful. Is it easy? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's not. Because sometimes I think, and I've seen it in my marriage. Like, there are things that I know how to do or I would do it this way. But the moment I ask my wife to do it, and I know she's going to do it differently. And the same goes like vice versa, right? The way she asked me, it can be, can you help me clean this, right? Like, okay, I'm going to clean it, but I'm going to clean it my way, you know? And then she's going to come, it's like, well, you didn't do it this way. And I was expecting you to go this, and that, you know? And this is just like a little example, right? And I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it got us to get to a certain adaptation.
Yeah.
Like, of saying, like, okay, this is the way she does it, so I'm going to try to do it like that. Like, this, she's happy with it, and I'm going to so satisfied with the result. And the same goes for me. You know, when I ask her, like, oh, let's do this or whatever, like, I'm expecting, I've learned that I have to...
Compromise?
Not compromise, but if I want something done in a way, just to be clear about my expectations, you know? And where I'm going with that is that it's the same way with the kid, I'm pretty sure. If I want him to be something or do something, to be as clear as possible, like, this is how I would do it, but not shut him down if he comes with a better idea, you know? Because that's how I feel sometimes, like, parents, Latino parents are. Like, no, this is the way that I do it, this is the right way. This is why I tell you, like...
would you answer his question?
Of course. Like, and that's like, another thing. That
like, why? And, like, well, let me tell you why.
And I was telling you, exactly, like, let's have a conversation. You want me to explain it? I'm going to explain it, you know? Like, saying, like, why would you do this like this? Oh, because I've tried this, and that, and didn't work. This is the best way. Well, and if he comes and he tells me, like, well, have you tried this way? Then, like, well, we can try it, you know? Or we can go that way if you feel that maybe it's a good idea. But I will be supportive and trying to explain as much as I can. And I know I said, like, I don't want to compare, but there are things that I know that I've learned with time that it's probably the best way to go. Or this is the way that I would like to receive it, but I have to be aware of the way he would like to receive it, you know? And there's a book, The Five Languages of Love, that it's so pertinent. Like, and it's not just about relationship between a guy and a girl or whatever in a marriage, right? I think it's the same thing with any relationship. You have to know what the other person expects for you to feel the love, you know? Like, some people like to receive stuff, or maybe it could be a gift, it can be words, it could be a touch, just like a little, hey, good job, you know? Things like that. In that book, like, it explains it in a way, and I think that that's going to be something really similar with a kid. You have to be there and try to figure out the way he likes to feel that you're there for them and that you love them, right? Because let's say I like to have a conversation and for people to say, okay, you know what, like, I like when you do this and that and this and that. But I know for some people it's different. Maybe he would prefer having a high five and saying, hey, good job, buddy, or, you know, or maybe he's not going to like it when I'm going to say, like, hey, good job, or I don't know, you know, maybe he's going to look for approbation in another aspect, you know, or maybe another way. Like, I don't know, but I have to be aware of what he likes and what he would like me to be for him, right? And I know that as a kid, well, he's not going to be exactly like me, per se. I know he's going to be different, right? And I think most of us expect kids to be somehow or somewhat like us or better than us, right? And that's what I would like, for him to be better than me in every aspect, right? Mm-hmm. So I can show him what I did or try to be as supportive as I can. So that would be how I'm expecting, right? And I'm not feeling ready, as I mentioned. We cannot always be ready for a kid. And what we can be is maybe more of a, if we can say it, that we can be prepared to give the best of what we have, you know, like we cannot be ready. We can try to be the best we can. That's what I would say.
Like you don't know where you're going, but you have a more or less a good idea.
You have a good idea or more or less, but anyways, you just have to be there and try to be the best as you can and learn. And learn from your mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And try to show that to the kid too, that the most important thing is not the mistake, is what you're going to do afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I would like tell anybody who's expecting a baby, or like, guys, like, don't be afraid. Just be the best you can, right? And try to hold on to it and try to cherish those moments with your kid, right? And try to grow. Like as a father, as long they will be growing up too, because we never stop learning, and that's something I think too, and we have just to keep on sharing and getting ready for whatever happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like as much as we can. But no, I'm not ready. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, at least like everything is in. Or
yeah, actually everything like, is in order.
Everything is in order. We have the car seat. We have like. Or everything is ready with backpacks and stuff for the hospital. Everything is ready for that moment. So it can happen anytime, and we're ready for that moment.
Could be happening right
afterwards,
now.
Afterwards, we can...
No.
Wait, no, it's not happening now. Fine. So we'll see when it happens, and hopefully we'll do our best, right? So thank you for your time, sharing with us. If ever you want to say how you lived through all that as a father, as a mother to come, or like those moments to help me out personally, right? But I'm pretty sure that other people can benefit of our experiences, and hopefully, well, I will be having another podcast talking about how everything is not going as planned.
Everything's
as I said,
going like, really, really bad.
So I
they
will
lost
be able
a child
to
like two times.
And the mall.
Yeah,
like,
it's
you know,
crazy.
Like, no, we'll see how it goes, and I will be happy to share with you like those moments that I will have with my kids. With my kid. Let's start with one, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Wait. We'll
twins?
See. Yeah, we'll see what happens, right? No, they're not twins. It's one. And, well, my coffee is over, and the break too. So for today, we're good to go. Thank you for listening. Hopefully, this will be useful for somebody out there. Share with us on Hafet's Coffee Break on Instagram, on Facebook too, and have Jeff's Coffee Break on Twitter. And try to follow us on Twitter. I will be trying something eventually. And for the last episode, we will be recording, as we will be also talking with you on Twitter at the same time.
If you have questions for us,
if you have questions, send us questions via Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. We will be happy to answer. It could be anything. You want to know how to start a podcast? Do you want to know what we like, what we do in life? You want to know more about us? Share, comment, and like to follow what we do in all those platforms. So thank you for being with us.